The At Your Instep podcast is brought to you in part by Empire Cards. Check them out at www.empirecards.com. Hello, and welcome to At Your Instep. My name is Morgan, and on my left is Mike.
Hello.
And to my right is Jordan.
Hey, you guys, what's up?
And a lot of exciting stuff happened this week. We obviously had a pre-release, so we all went to those, and that was fun. And we have the banned and restricted list announcement, which is pretty exciting.
That didn't change very much.
Oh, no. No big changes or anything like that. You know, just typical Wizard stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then we actually have a new segment we're going to debut today, and I'll give you the title of it. It's called Going to Turns, and it's when we get to it, we'll explain a little bit more later. And then we have a typical closing stuff. Guys, let's first talk about pre-releases. I myself did four. I was only expecting to do three, but I got talked into the fourth one last minute, which is also the one I did the best in. So we all actually did go to the midnight one as well, and Mike actually did really well on this.
Yeah, me
and
Jordan, I was all excited. I was like, guys, guess what? I didn't think I could go, and I'm like, I get to go to the midnight one. Let's hang out. Three rounds later, they're both like, yeah, see you, Mike. We're going home. I'm just like, well, I'm glad I did this. Like,
it was
thanks,
4
guys.
Man.
Yeah, we were tired.
It was 4 a.m.
So what color did you pick?
I took green.
Good color.
And I ended
good
up
choice.
Opening a pretty solid white to go with it. Had a lot of strong heroic guys, including the 1/1 green, the hero of I'm trying to remember what it is. It's green and 1/1.
Like Lenia Tower or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, his heroic trigger is essentially like kicker X for your heroic spell.
Right.
That card in limited is nuts.
Really.
And multiple games where just like play this guy attack and they're like. As it was explained to me, that guy is unblockable when you have untapped mana, and it was like, yeah, play this 1-mana heroic trigger, right, and then trigger like X is just like 6, or it was just stupid.
Yeah, it seems like that would make combat just hell if you have. I imagine that in like draft, like that card would probably be bonkers because you couldn't really craft around it. You had a pretty good sealed pool.
It was a really good heroic pool. The last round at like 7 a.m. I got to go like turn 2, 1/1 flyer with heroic, turn 3, 2/2 flyer with heroic, turn 4, 1/1 green guy with heroic, like two triggers, right? And then like attack the next turn, and he just like made like these really bad blocks. And I'm just like, yeah, Repo to Sown.
Good lord.
Like, oh man, I got to do it one time all tournament for the full value, and it was just wonderful. It was just great.
Didn't you get to like make your guy indestructible heroic trigger? Before damage, divine verdict.
Yes,
guy, trigger.
I did win a game that way as well.
That's amazing.
That's pretty sweet.
It was also pretty douchey on my part because I just like flipped the card at him.
Well, yeah, he was a
what
friend.
An
he was
asshole.
Yeah, I was just like, ooh, got him.
was that one of our fellow Comic Town teammates that you did that to?
I'm not sure if he is. I know he's up there consistently. I will say that wasn't the most fun thing I got to do on Friday night. The most enjoyable thing I got to do was against one of our resident trolls and consistent drafters. Was playing base blue tempo, and I got to play him in round 3 or 4 of the FNM draft. So I got to board in my 3 gainsays against him.
Oh, good lord.
And top deck the third one, the turn he was trying to replay his Shipbreaker Kraken. So I got up and ran a lap around. Like, I actually got up and like, ran a lap after I did it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because he's like, boarding cards. He's like, what could you possibly board again against me? And I'm just like, gainsay. And gainsay.
Man, feels good.
His reaction was priceless, too, because you'd already played the other two, and he was just like, no way!
I ended up going X and 1. I lost to the guy, so he ended up losing the last round. But, like, his deck was pretty good, but, like, I flooded out, like, all 3 games, and he drew, like, the third game was just, like rip, removal spell, and, like, the last turn of the game was, like, I played a Centaur Battlemaster, which has a heroic trigger where you get 3 counters, and he had a flyer, so like I had a time to feed, like cast the same turn, so I could just like, make a 7/7, make a 6/6, fight your guy, gain 3 life, and like stabilize. And like he the turn before, he already played a removal spell, played a draw spell, and he just had casually the Bile Blight in response.
That's gross.
Oh, no big deal.
I was like, yeah, you got it.
You're
like,
not winning some games.
Yeah, right, what are you gonna
do? So, but he ended up losing his last round, and he still won, right? Because like at that point. But I was able to sneak into second because of it, so it was pretty nice. Got most of a box and opened up as many Karametras as you could possibly ever want.
Awesome.
I hate that card.
Oh,
so
man. So good. Gotta love that 5-5 god that gets planes and.
Oh, he's fours. A 6-5. Give him his credit.
Oh, excuse me, 6-5.
Hey, man, he's like EDH borderline playable. Okay.
I mean, I got one.
He's probably playable in EDH, yeah. But I couldn't care less. So.
Right, right, okay. No, I can't either. That was obvious sarcasm.
So, yeah, I did pretty well. So I had to go home this weekend after that, like a 2-hour drive up north, and I definitely slept right. The whole time. Like, Katie, yeah, I gotta sleep. But that's my wife's doing, by the way. And, like, we get up there, and then, like, we got done with our stuff that night around, like, 10:30, and Empire was running at 11:31.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And I was really close, but I was just too tired. I just couldn't
do it. I can't blame you.
I was like, oh, man. I even sent him a message. I was like, how many people do you think you're getting for this? And he's like, 10 to 40. And it was his guess. And I'm like, well, like, 10 is only 4 rounds. I could do that. 40 is, like, 6 rounds. I don't want to do that. Like, 4 rounds, sure, like, and I just couldn't, like, I couldn't bring myself to do it, so.
Yeah, because then you spend the 20 minutes driving there, and then you feel obligated to play, even if it is 40.
Yeah, and then it's, like, 5 in the morning, and then I go back and, like, fall asleep during the Super Bowl, which I pretty much
You could have anyway, right? That's
the thing, yeah.
I didn't even watch it, because apparently it wasn't even worth watching. It was pretty one-sided, and, you know, who wants to watch the Seahawks masturbate for, like, you know, 4 quarters?
It was like watching an EDH game between, like, an established EDH player and, like, a guy named the former.
Like, I just bought this pre-constructed deck, guys.
Should I play with you?
Oh, yeah. My deck's entirely foil. I even have foils that you can't get foiled. How'd you do that?
I did get to play one of the football sealed events that they were running.
On Magic Online, yeah.
Which was, so, you got, was it, like, Future Sight, Odyssey,
Onslaught, maybe?
Onslaught was one of them.
Time Spiral.
I'm trying to think of all the ones you got.
Betrayers of Kamigawa. It would have had to have been.
Alara Reborn.
Lorwyn.
Lorwyn, and it might have been Legions. Yeah, it was Legions. It was the last one.
Oh, okay.
That's the best.
You got 120 cards in your sealed pool. It was the worst thing I've ever... the first game that I played with it, like, all you do is just jam guys, and it's a bunch of, like... Because the whole joke is you get a bunch of beasts and birds, like, right... Like,
right.
the packs spell football, but you also have, like, a strong, like, bird theme and everything else. So, like, you just have a bunch of these terrible cards. Like, I guess my opponent, he had, like, 15 creatures in play. I have, like, 12 creatures in play. He's pressing lethal with flyers. My only good card was Cryptic Command, so I'm just like, well, tap your 15 guys, attack for 20 exactly. What a format.
Just living the dream. Sweet.
Wizards make a GP that is football.
I don't
think they're going to do that somehow. Jordan, you just went to the midnight one as well. Oh, no, you went to midnight and 4 p.m.
Yeah. Midnight and 4 p.m. Midnight, I played blue as my color of choice. I played the sick blue-green deck. I had, like, 5 bombs in it, and it was a pretty good deck. It just, I got beat by the 330 opponent. It was, I lost 1 round pretty late, and I was like, no. We're gonna go to bed. Went to bed. Came back the next day at 4 p.m. and played green. That promo is sweet, because you just get a 12-12, and then, like, no one ever lets you fight it, obviously, which is why Tribute's terrible, because you're like, oh, I want to fight your dude, and they're like, no, you have a 12-12, and they're like, sweet.
Sometimes people make mistakes.
The only time I actually cast mine the entire crew is I got to fight.
Really, I never had to fight it, and I casted mine
the
whole time.
He only had 2 creatures on the board, so it's like, he had no way to get through, so it was either, like, let me fight an average guy and get a 6-6, or abyss him for 2 turns, and then he's just dead.
Sure. Yeah, no, in the cases that I casted it, and I casted it pretty frequently, never once got to fight a dude, which is kind of sad, but...
A 12-12 doesn't feel that bad.
No, sure.
Unlimited.
Sure. I went X-1 with the red-green deck that I played Saturday at 4 p.m. That was sweet. Pre-releases are a lot of fun, man. You get to meet people that are, like, brand new to the game, or people that, like, play the guy who was, like, is my first limited tournament, and it's, like, round 6 and he's X-1, and I'm like, oh, sweet, like, your deck must be insane, and then, like, he's like, yo, yeah, like, the cool thing is everybody has bombs, like, every deck's got 3 bombs,
right,
so, like,
right,
everybody can have a lot of fun, and some kid told me, he was like, yeah, this has been a pretty fun day, I was like, yo, how did you like the game, man, it gets a lot less fun from here on out, so.
to that end, yeah, screw you guys for trolling me Friday night real bad. So since I've won, by the way, if you didn't know, I won Star City Open Columbus. And the thing is, I have not tried to. I have tried. I'm not arrogant about it. Like there's no reason to be. Like, you know, it's already forgotten. New format, whatever. Right. Well, I don't. No one leaves me alone here. Like, hey, did you do this? Hey, they just troll me consistently. So sit down at midnight to play. You know, first round, play against a guy who said it was his first tournament. Like, played casual. Very he liked nice Sealed. Guy. Nice guy. Had some sweet... I mean, he had Xenagos. He was playing the red base deck, so we had the dragon too. We helped him rework his deck because, like, he was trying to splash white and he just didn't need to.
And that's what producers are for, right? Is like helping new people fall in love with the game. Yeah.
But like, you know, I soundly crush him. You know what I mean? Like it was like okay, like play him, and you know, it was fun. And his mana was poor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We helped him fix that. So like, of course, like afterwards, they have like a bunch of people around me just like trolling me, like, oh yeah, he's pretty good. And he's like, I thought so. He's like, have you won anything recently? And I'm like. I won Standard Open. And then so, of course, like, they harass me, and then he's, like, telling people, right? I'm just like, no, like...
Yeah, he didn't even mean to be, like...
No, he was, like, really nice about it, and these guys... You guys all suck.
Like, listen here, Open Points.
The best part about it, though, is just, like, I thought he knew when someone told... When he told me the story that he did that, I was like, oh, so, like, you knew? He goes, oh, no. I was just like, yeah, that guy's a really good player, and I could tell he was making good plays. And I was just like, oh, no, this is too great.
So if you ever do well in Columbus, you're not allowed to be happy about it. You just get trolled to infinity.
No, right. I mean, we're your friends. We're supposed to troll you.
Though, to be fair, I did get to go to one of the person's houses who did this and carry my trophy in and drink adult beverages out of it. So that was a wonderful
time. Did it make you feel pretty good?
It made me feel incredibly trashy.
I mean, like, okay, like with you know, you win a trophy in sports, like they know that they have to drink out of it. It's got to be disgusting and gross, but they got to. Stanley Cup. They got to drink out of that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, I mean, yeah, you just use your skates to chip some ice out of the rink and like yeah, put clearly. It in, like
right.
No, is that not how?
I don't think that's how it works. No, apparently those guys used to do some disgusting things with that trophy, and then they finally started paying a guy to spend every day with it while it was at the players. Like, these are just like, we're tired of whatever bodily
function. What a fucking buzzkill, that guy. What are literal, what is your job title?
I'm assuming the NHL doesn't pay him enough to stop him from getting paid off.
Maybe he just has really good moral fibers or something. I don't know, but yeah. I guess.
Anyway, so Morgan, how was your pre-release?
Oh, my pre-release. So, my pre-releases were great. My midnight one was kind of sucky. What was it? It was six rounds for the midnight one. It was seven rounds. Oh, good lord.
Old Ryan caved and let some people in extra, which I understand, but it's really miserable.
Oh, man. Yeah. So seven rounds. I went green for the pre-release. My pool, I can't really remember. It was such a blur.
It was mediocre.
I mean, it wasn't too terrible. I think I tried to force green blue. And it just, you know, wasn't that great. I had like archetype of imagination, which gives all your guys flyers, and like that guy's really powerful. But I think it was just like a little bit too top heavy, so I didn't really perform very well. And I just, you know, whatever, crashed out and left Mike, abandoned him, and I apologize. But I'm glad you did well.
Yeah, I'm happy you did fine, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the SCG Open champion.
Clearly, I just can't compete.
I really wish you guys would have just like. Not won another match in any of your releases. Like, I really wish you would have.
Just win. I really wish you would like, lost
to a guy who was, like, riffle shuffling his Xenagos without a sleeve. And it was just like, yeah, I don't even like this card.
You don't wish that upon anybody.
I wish that upon both of you.
Oh, wow. You take medieval back, Ricky Bobby.
luckily enough, that isn't what happened. I actually prized in all the other pre-releases that I did, so I felt pretty successful about that. I went to the 4 p.m. with Jordan. And went, I think, X2.
You X1, didn't you?
I don't know.
Pretty sure you...
Did I X1?
Yeah, Dave X2'd. I'm pretty sure you X1'd because you were ahead of me and I X1'd.
Oh, yeah. So, third or so Jordan and I X1'd.
All the success. Can't even remember.
Yeah, it's just too much. What do I do with all these packs? Well, my hand can't hold them all.
Yeah, your $1.50 for one of the gods packs.
Yeah, so sick.
Get them while they're hot.
Oh, man.
No, go ahead, sorry.
And I went... I think I went blue that one. I only play blue or green throughout the entire pre-release because they're the two best colors, unlimited typically. And I, you know, did pretty well. My exciting ones were Sunday because they're also the ones I can most remember pretty much.
Were you like tripping on acid the whole time? Well, you don't remember anything.
I just have a bad memory. I play Magic,
blaze out of my mind on Saturday.
When I play Magic, it's all a blur. In all honesty, I'm just so focused, and then like afterwards, I just like completely like zone out about it, which probably is why I'm terrible. But since Sunday just happened yesterday, I actually have pretty good memories about it, and it was two-headed giant for both the events, so it was a lot of fun. So I played with a buddy, a friend of the shop that's there all the time, and we went blue green. Yeah, not a shock. And we had a nutty blue-black sealed pool. We had two Phoenixes in our sealed pool. It was awesome. I did get to mill someone up for 16 and kill them.
That's pretty awesome.
It was amazing. The other deck that we built was kind of mediocre, but the best thing that did happen is we're playing round one, and we're pretty confident about our deck, so we have a sick blue-black deck. The green-white deck will hopefully be able to get us to the late game, where we'll be able to take control of the board, and like, you know, no big deal. But we played against, a group of two guys in the first round that both built aggro decks, which is not something you typically do in Two-Headed Giant. You have one aggro-y mid-range deck, and then you have one control deck that helps get to that late game where it just kind of grinds out. So we go to five, and they run out of steam, and we battle our way back up to no Phoenixes or anything.
Did you get Lava Axe?
No, we didn't get Lava Axe. Oh, man. We went down to three. But the funny thing was, you bring up Nessie and Ravager. They had a 5/5 flyer that we just didn't have an answer for. We could chump block it for a couple turns, but it was going to get us eventually, and this was before we'd even got to 5 life. We play Nessie and Wilds Ravager, and they are afraid of the 12/12, because they're like, I don't want to deal with the 12/12. So they let us fight, and we fight that creature, and it dies. And me and my buddy just look my other head. Me and my other head just look at each other, and go, okay, pass the turn, and from there, that was just like the turning point. And that's when we just took over the game, and it was really, you really will only have those kind of situations happen in sort of sealed casual events that happen. Normally, the skill player that you would hope that the skill player that you play against might be a little more refined, but. They were relatively new to the game. I've seen them in the shop before, but they only usually play like pre-release events or they are usually doing, you know, limited events here and there. So they may not get a whole lot of practice and may not have, you know, saw the board state the same way that we saw it, where we were like, well, we're just dead to this flyer, like we just lost round one, no big deal. And they're like, we can't deal with the 12/12. What do we do? Make it a 6/6 and destroy the best thing we have on board. Oh, it's so good. But they did. It was rough. But we helped them rebuild their.
Pre-releases are geared towards making new players love the game boards. If you're terrible, I'm gonna crush you.
No, it's not even that.
Nice
like,
decision, idiot. I'm Morgan McCarl. I'm really good at X2ing out of PTQs.
That's true.
Why would you make that decision?
Excuse me, X4ing.
Yeah, like, what's the last time you X2'd a PTQ? Like, when I beat him, right?
That's true.
Oh, God!
I'm not gonna lie.
No, I hear you. Oh, wow. This is why Mike gets made fun of, by the way, guys.
Yeah, because...
You've made me this, okay?
Yeah, we have created our own monster here.
To be fair, Mike actually doesn't do that unless, like, I'm around. And then, like, for some reason, he thinks it... Like, it doesn't bother me, but it started to now because he just does it to piss me off. He's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm SCG Open Champion. And my heart, like, rips apart in my chest. And, like, you know, it's like... I'm sure, like, friends of celebrities feel similar, right? They're like, yeah, like, Jamie Lee Foxx, what a prick. Well, I guess Mike doesn't give me endless amounts of money and goods, so...
That's true. Probably not. Just contempt.
No,
that's
You make an interesting point, though, about, like, pre-releases. Like, sometimes you just play around a lot, and you're, like, playing it. You know, like, what's the Art of War where they're like, yeah, the number one swordsman doesn't need to fear the second most swordsman, need to fear is, like, the least swordsman, right? Because, like,
right.
I'll just do crazy stuff. Like, I attack with my 5/5 and
exactly.
My opponent's pair of 2/1s.
Yeah, like...
And they're, like, double block, and like, I'm like... Why?
Like who builds two aggro decks in a sealed pool? How do you have good enough cards to build two aggro decks in group sealed? It blew my mind, but it's and like we were really nice to him. We explained like your sort of strategies in Two-Headed Giant. We're like, you know, usually you can build two aggro decks and you just have to be super fast. And sometimes you can get there before the other teams can really have a board presence. But sometimes you end up where they ended up, where they had us at 5. And we just battled all the way back. And it was really interesting. We helped them rebuild their decks because they had really good decks too. Like this kid could have gone just straight on a red. Like he had 23 red playables that he could have just gone with, including like a Fanatic Amogus. That's just like it's insane in Two-Headed Giant because it says each opponent, so it doubles the damage.
Oh,
yeah, it's really bad.
Got Grim Merchant reads like that too, right?
Yeah, something like that. Sick. So, but they had, you know, good cards, and then we just, you know, talked it through him, like, the other guy, he was playing green-white, and he had two of the pre-release white guys, so one of the actual, the seeded one, and then just a regular one.
The one that attacks, you get to flip.
You get to get an enchantment back, onto the battlefield.
Yeah,
right? Or is it back to your hand? Or back to the
back to your hand.
Back to your hand. Either way. But you also had the pre-release card from Theros. So the Celestial Archon, the 4-4 bestow guy. So there was a nice little wombo combo there. Like, oh, just get this guy back every time.
Wombo combo.
So, like, they had nutty decks. They just... So we helped them rebuild it, and they ended up still having, like, a good time. I think they went, like, 2-3 or something like that afterwards. So, like, yeah, it was a good time. And then the... So ended up getting, like, 5th or 6th on that one. Split the packs with my teammate. We went and got lunch. It was great. And then one of the other guys that was there, one of our friends, was talking about maybe going back at 6 because we didn't really, you know, the Super Bowl was going on, so people were going to go watch that foolishly. And we thought that maybe we could, you know, sneak in and you know have a short pre-release, you know, like something under 4 rounds, and hopefully be able to just, you know, spike it and get some packs, get split, you know, get 2 boxes. Why not? So we ended up going there. It's 12 teams, pays the top 8, so we already have, it's already in our favor that we would receive some sort of prize, which is fine. We open our packs. We initially start building our decks, and mine's a red-white deck. It's an aggro deck. We had, like, really good red, really good white, so we're like, oh, we'll do this, and he starts on, a blue-black deck because we opened another Phoenix. So it's like, why not? Blue-black is pretty sweet, and he had, like, an archetype of imagination again. Like, cards are just pretty sick. The midway through, we're like, we had 2 Afaras. We opened 2 Afaras, and we're like, it seems like a real shame we're not playing these in sealed. Like, it seems like they'd be fine in, like, a blue-white heroic aggressive deck. Afar is the 6-5 or the 5-6 god for...
5-6. Oh, the green-white god.
No, the blue-white god.
Blue-white. Oh, okay. The one with the jar, right?
Right, correct. And that comes in when a creature comes...
Draw card.
Yeah, right, you get the... If a creature came into... To the battlefield, your last turn, you get draw card. So it goes on a creature deck. You wouldn't want to play in, like, a controller-based deck. It was fine, you know. So I go, well, let you take a look at our green. I'll take a look at the blue, and we'll see what we have. So the blue-white deck that we had was awesome. We had 2 of the Hopeful Eidolon, 2 of the Shieldborn Nyx, the Nyxborn Shieldmates. So we had pretty good bestowers. We also had, like, the Alcyids. We had a bunch of good stuff. So, and in the end, we ended up going 3-1. We met defeat by, yet again, people who had built two aggressive decks and had killed us by turn 5 into a giant, yes. Which was pretty good. It's pretty good. But yeah, definitely got a lot of limited experience over the weekend. I think we all did.
Yeah.
So.
Sealed was a good time.
No, I had a really interesting encounter. Are you done? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm done.
I was about to interrupt you, but no, like, it's this really weird thing about, like, pre-releases and playing, like, different people that you don't normally play against. And, like, my opponent had a pair of 2 ones.
Sure.
And I attacked with my 5-5, and he was like, all right, double block. Which, right, like, doesn't kill my 5-5. I killed both of his things. So, and he has, like, 2 green mana up, and I'm waiting for the trick. And I'm like, yeah, that was probably a dumb attack. What do you got? He was like, oh, nothing, damage. Puts them both in the bin. I was like, what? Oh, no? He's like, yeah, untap. I was so confused. And I thought, I had to be getting gamed here somewhere. Because, like, right. In my play group, I'm the worst player. Like, you know, like, with all my friends. So it was just weird.
So you were just waiting for, like, something to pop out and, like, get you.
I was ready for, like, a cube card, you know, to come out. Like, this guy's like, yeah, skin render, you're dead, idiot. You know, like, whatever.
What a dumbass.
Like, God. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just a really weird environment because I think, like, a lot of times you can
overthink
plays, but at the same time, you don't want, like, we talk about all the time, you don't want to underthink the play either.
And the big deal about the pre-release is the emotional investment for the bulk of the players is in there. Like, they're just, I want to win some prize playing pre-release, but I have a really good time just, like, talking to people who are new.
Yeah,
like, most of them just have a big smile on their face. They just want to play some Magic. You know,
yeah.
And a lot of them come with a group of friends of theirs who just, like, you know, they normally just sit around the table at home and play some Magic. And,
yeah.
You know, I think we were talking about, like, I won't get too specific, but, like, some possible scumming going on, you know, at some of the pre-releases. And, you know, like, my thought here is, like, if you need to scum the guy who just, like, signed up for his DCI card to play this,
die. Yeah, you're just, right? You're just in the wrong place.
Just leave.
I mean, like the things we talk about, that we notice are interesting, like, board states that happened when, like, times where we just got lucky. Because, like, my example in the SCNS, I just got lucky. Like, they made the wrong play, but they may not have known it. And, like, I remember being those players and being like, oh, man, I can't deal with a 12-12. Like, just kill my best guy. Like, I've been there. And it hasn't been that long ago since I've been there. So,
you can anticipate things like they're going to make, you know, most opponents at a pre-release are going to make the kind of blocks that, they're desperate to save their life total. Like,
right.
There's not a real understanding of the, you know, life total as a resource.
Sure.
They're going to value cards to gain life. You know, that's going to happen. And I think, like, you need to take it as an opportunity to, like, be like, hey, like, you know, you could have done this. Or, like, hey, look, you know, I love to say, like, hey, let me see the rest of your pool. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Hey, why aren't you playing this card? You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you're not aggressive about it. You're like, hey, idiot, like, this card's obviously
you're
better.
Not worried about it.
You know what I mean?
Whoa.
Well, like, the other thing, too, is, like, I really enjoy, like, there's been plenty of times where, like, I've asked my opponent, like, why are you doing this? And then they'll show me some other card. And like, yeah, it comes with this. And it's literally something, like, I never would have thought of in a million years.
Right.
And it's hilarious. Like, it's so much fun. And you're like, well, that's never going to happen. But if it does, I'm going to stand up and still clap for you. Because
yeah.
That is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, that's...
And it's something I would look at, like, now. Like, I you say you remember being, like, that player who's
yeah.
like, oh, my God, a 12-12. Like, it's hard sometimes to remember being that player, like, who was like, oh, man, do you remember, like, doing this? Like, do you remember, like, this crazy combo? Like, I remember playing a Seton-Druid combo. Seton was a legend back in Odyssey that said
uh-huh.
tap an untapped druid, add a green mana to your mana pool.
Oh, man.
And it was some ridiculous infinite druid combo that played, like, one of the words enchantment where you didn't instead of drawing a card, you did, like, two damage to someone or you made, like, a 2-2 bear. And it was the most convoluted thing in the world. I remember being so proud of it. And, like, I couldn't tell you what the deck did now. Like, beyond, like, what cards beyond, like, Seton and, like, Words of Wilding. Like, I couldn't
right.
tell what was in the deck. And, like, I feel like sometimes, like, the more competitive you get, you lose that aspect, right?
Yeah.
Like, you lose the ability to be like, oh, well, I'm going to do the... And Cube sort of scratches that itch, right?
Right.
But I talk about, like, this idea of, like, scratching an itch you didn't know you had, right? Where you look at something and you're just like, oh, man, this is awesome. You know what I mean?
Like, I didn't even know I wanted to do that, but now I want to do that.
Like, I want to see this happen. So, like, you know, like, I've definitely had games where it's like, well, you probably could have killed me there, right? It's like, I don't want to. I want to see you do this. Like, I'm going to draw this game out because I want to see you do this.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you made a good point. Like, pre-releases are about making people fall in love with the game the same way we did, too. Like, that kid that...
I think it's a good way to play.
Yeah. Like,
right.
The kid you played round one, like, that red-white opponent who we, you know, we joke about calling you good and everything. That kid will forever remember that. Like, he was... you rolled your eyes, but not in, like, the negative sense, right? Like, for a minute, that kid was, like, enthralled in this community. He was like, those guys that play Magic are cool. And like,
hopefully,
right? Yeah. Well,
hopefully, thought that. Hopefully, you walk up and be like, "Those guys that play Magic are assholes."
Or you'll learn very shortly that you're just wrong. But like, you know, when he comes to FN and I'm going to draft, like, that'll be an experience. He's going to be infinitely more comfortable coming back here in the future.
Yeah.
And like, we made a person like a fan of the game, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mean, like, one of my girlfriend's friends actually came, and he had a local playgroup that he played with, and then like he just. You know, he hadn't played in a while. He hadn't played since, like, Legions, I think.
Nice.
It was Legends. He hadn't played since Legends.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it's
I've
been a while.
I've heard of that. That's
and,
how old it is.
Yeah, and he found out that I played Magic. He's like, oh, I want to go to the Midnight pre-release. So he goes there and, like, I you know, talk to him and be like, hey, you know, let me see what we can do about your... Yeah, I know you haven't played in a while. Let's see what we can do about your build. And, like, he opened a nutty pool to basically just, like, build itself. It was awesome, and, like, he had a good time. So it's just crazy how even someone that hasn't played in a while it can just come back to the game and not know anything and just be like a new player. But it was really good to see, you know, a bunch of new faces in the pre-release like we always do. And we all had a good time, right?
Great. Yeah, I had a fun time.
Sweet.
I love getting abandoned.
Yeah. Cry me a river.
It's funny, we didn't leave early on Saturday afternoon.
Well,
you had a chance to win because I wasn't there. What? I didn't play you. What?
Accurate.
You knew what was going to happen.
What? Anyway, let's move on to the
Jordan was on the tracks. He saw the terrain a coming.
Let's actually move on.
This is what Mike does. He does actually pretend
he's a train a lot. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's just like Michael, stop it. We're in the middle of North.
He has an obsession with,
like,
Thomas the Tank Engine. I don't know. Let's go ahead and move on. To the other big
news.
You're
not a train, you're 30.
Can we? let's move into modern and talk about the banned and restricted list, guys. So get the fuck out of here, Deathrite Shaman.
Nobody wants you, man.
Nobody wants you here in modern lands.
I saw some awesome pictures on Reddit of, like, like, I'm really upset about the banning, and a guy had this, like, 70 death threat challenge laid out on the floor. Well, no, the number one comment on that same thread was like, oh, that's cute, and this guy's got his whole room is just covered with death threat challenges. And I was like, well, you're all really dumb for not cashing out when that first started talking.
Yeah, and it's not like so basically, cut to the chase, death threat shaman is banned. No longer playable in Modern. Two cards were unbanned, Wild Nacatl and Bitter Blossom. So, yeah, those are two big unbannings, I think.
No other format got really touched.
Nope.
EDH had
Sylvan Primordial
banned.
Who gives a fuck?
I mean, well, I'm just saying, if you do play EDH, like if you're playing a six-player game, that card just lets you destroy five permanents.
Yeah.
So, I could see why.
Yeah, it's a little destructive.
There's
yeah.
sick combos with that, too. Like, what's the card that's like a blue and a colorless?
Dead Eye Navigator.
Oh, gosh.
You can just wipe a board with that.
So,
right.
So, that's fine to go. But, yeah, definitely... you know, a lot of people were pushing for Pack Rat and Standard, which I don't think it needed to be banned. Like,
no.
I would run a proponent at the beginning of the format, which is like, just play removal spells and get rid of it.
More importantly, like, Bioblight just came out. Like,
for sure.
And Drown in Sorrow. Like, I know those are spells that are black, but they still answer, you know, Pack Rat.
I mean, Pack Rat was, like, a mirror card for a long time anyway.
Yeah, most certainly.
Blue still doesn't get a way to deal with it, so sorry for you, Mono Blue, but hopefully... You know, I think there are a couple, like, Owen Turnbull, we didn't talk about, like, Impact, Patrick Chapin this week, we're already talking about, like, maybe it's time to cut down to two Pack Rats, like, if you're playing straight Mono Black. Those are some sweet aggro decks that have come out as well.
Yeah,
that's
I saw those. That's new standard.
Yeah, just clarify, Modern Effect goes into place Friday, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, second of Born of the Gods is standard legal?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, that's standard legal, but legal as a set?
Yeah.
The band restricted.
Okay. So
I think Magic Online,
it
goes on a little bit further down the road.
Yeah, like the Wednesday Modern, it's you know, fair.
Like,
game.
I will see John.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll still see John.
So this is kind of the discussion that we kind of had when this happens, is that even with Death Threat Shaman gone, you know, Jund is still going to be a deck. It was a deck before Death Threat Shaman, it'll be a deck after Death Threat Shaman. The thing is that it won't. Deathrite Shaman added a lot of flexibility and reach to that deck that it didn't normally have. Things in that color, as you said.
A lot of green-black deck to have access to Birds of Paradise, which is a fine green effect. Grim Lavamancer, which is a fine red effect.
Right.
Well-Wisher, which is another fine green effect that is... Or honestly, like now Soulmender, like that's a white effect.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, oh, so your one-mana green-black hybrid card is actually a four-mana spell that ramped? I mean, I don't care what you think about Death Rush Shaman. The card is a great card. Like, it is actually an amazing Magic card. Like, it does.
Correct.
I mean, it's been called the one mana planeswalker for a reason.
Yeah.
It does things that color should not have access to, consistently. It allows that deck to escape board states that it should be weak to, which is how you stop a deck from being omnipresent. Like all the last major events over the last 6 months, like top eights, everything else, Death Rush Shaman was reaching like a 34% like played rate. Like,
right.
In a format that's supposed to be billed as diverse, that's disgusting.
Right.
So, granted, you could argue the same thing with, like, Lightning Bolt and Tarmogoyf, I guess. But, like, Lightning Bolt is one mana, you know, deal
does
damage,
one thing,
right? Tarmogoyf is still a vanilla creature that dies to Abrupt Decay,
yeah.
Doomblade, Deathmark. I mean, you just XXXX.
Any number of things, yeah.
You know, you could say Deathrite Shaman does that too, but...
Doesn't die to Doomblade.
Well, doesn't die to Doomblade, but...
Yeah.
It has so much more, like, it does so much more than attack and block.
It quickens so many people's games, and it ends games faster. It just makes games shorter, and, like, that's all that it does.
Oh, not to mention you could cast your ramp spell off of a swamp. Like,
yeah.
What? Like, no,
right.
Yeah, it just, you know, for things like Legacy, like that card's fine. That format has so many more answers, and is so much more flexible than Modern is currently.
Well, I think also because of what they've done to combo decks, right? In Modern, like in Legacy, like Deathrite Shaman, like seriously, what does Tendrils care about a Deathrite Shaman?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, turn on Deathrite Shaman, you're dead next turn. You know what I mean? But in Modern, like when you, like legitimately, like Splinter Twin is the only sorry, like noises outside the room here. Splinter Twin is like the only real combo deck left besides like Tron. And in all reality, like things like the Goryeo's Vengeance deck, which is kind of sweet.
Right.
Or like, you know, Living End or Dredge Vine or these other things that like want to use the graveyard, like you couldn't do it because you had at 34%, you had a 1 in 3 chance of sitting down for round one and having like a dedicated answer card to the graveyard sitting across from you.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's just not okay, I don't think. I think
yeah.
You know, you have a lot of decks that will exist because of this now.
Oh yeah,
you
most know, certainly.
Just were pushed to the fringe. And I'm sorry, but if you really think that, like, oh, well, you know, like, I just bought into Jund and now it's unplayable, I'm sorry. It's still a hell of a deck.
Oh, yeah. Right. Most certainly.
You still can go turn two Liliana.
Like, I'm so sorry you have to play a 0/1 bird that taps for any color mana. By the way, Birds of Paradise is still a better ramp card than Deathrite Shaman. I hate to tell you, like, it always has mana on turn two. I'm so sorry you have to go play a card that was good enough for 20 years.
Right. I think it's the right move for a format. Like, I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit later, too, but it, like you said, allows so many more decks. The fact that, like, played in Living, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm just repeating you, but, like, the card shut down most of Modern. Knight of Reliquary decks that we wanted to play, like, I would love to play Junk in Modern, and now you can play one of the best Junk cards. Like,
It opens up the Zoo strategies back up, and we'll talk about that, too, with, like, Nakato does that as well. You could play Knight of the Reliquary because you're going to play a three mana 2/2 that all of its utility is just negated by the one drop. Like, it's like, oh, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, yay, I'm glad right. that happened. And I think so now you get just get more diversity. Snapcaster definitely gets better.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, there's been, like Delver decks have been sort of fringe, and now maybe they've got a little more of a chance to, you know, where their turn one isn't just like, oh, your turn one is just still better than my Delver.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And Delver's pushed as it is, you know what I mean?
But Delver's like, one of the better cards in the game, too. Really.
But it's not good, you know, it's not good without help. You know what I mean? Whereas Deathrite Shaman is just good in the format.
And that was one of the arguments that I read on Reddit a lot, was people were like, yeah, Deathrite Shaman's great on turn one, and it's great on turn six.
I mean, like, there's multiple board states, like, against, like, certain decks where that's the only card you want to draw.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, that's the definition of utility, but in a format where, like, we want to have as many decks be good as possible, it's too much.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I think it is definitely going to make the format a little bit more interesting and diverse, which is what we want. And, like, I don't think that there's very many decks that this actually really affects. It makes the format a bit more healthy. And that's all that, and that's what Bannock should do. You know, they should promote healthy, you know, format. And a lot of people are saying, like, you know, 5 years from now or sooner, like, this card's going to come off the ban list. And I can see that depending on what happens with new sets. Yeah.
If we turn to, like I said, Nakata, if we look at that card
next. Yeah, most certainly.
I mean, that card, the initial idea for banning that card was that all the green aggro decks, especially the zoo decks, that was the only kind of deck you would play. Right.
Right.
So they thought that by banning it, right, that green Sun Zenith, that it would lead to more, like, diverse aggro decks. Instead, it just led to the death of aggro decks. Like, you have Affinity, and, like, I myself will play Gruul aggro, but, like I said, my deck gets so much better because of Nakata. Like, it's just...
You were expounding upon it before the cast. It sounds insane.
Oh, gosh. Because, like... Burning Tree Emissary? Like, you can now go Burning Tree Emissary with your red and your green and go into Kurdape and Nakata? Like, oh, be still my beating heart.
Just be like, four guys, turn two. What are you going to do about it?
And I think that's, you know... Jordan, you were talking about, like, adding, like, Lightning Bolt to Tron and that sort of thing. And it's like, I don't think it's bad that, you know, the banning now makes other decks have to react.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right. You
now have to consider the fact that, a turn 1/3/3 is pretty good. You have no way to kill it until you Karn.
Oh,
so,
no, turn 1/3/3, turn 2/3/3, I'm dead.
Right.
Right. Karn doesn't... Karn cares. As
Karn, all of a sudden... gives shits.
Turns out,
sorry, Cedric.
I definitely think it'll be interesting to see, like, the resurgence of aggro decks. I think a lot of people were even hedging their bets that WoW Nakata was going to be unbanned and probably or already had list brewed. And I think that Modern itself is probably better equipped to deal with those aggro decks, so it won't just be like, oh, here's Pro Tour WoW Nakata. And that's all that's at the Pro Tour, are these Zoo decks and, like, these, you know, Tribal Flames decks, stuff like that.
The cost of this deck is still very real. I mean, Burn is one of the more popular decks, especially online in Moto.
Yeah.
But it shows up consistently. Like, there are decks that are going to punish these Zoo decks for their mana bases. I mean, Blood Moon still punishes that deck. Like, one of the preliminary lists I saw is still, like, a million fetch lands and it's, like, one of every duel. You know what I mean? And you're going to play Tribal Flames. That's sweet. I mean, you're going to be at 10 when you cast all these things.
Right.
Oh, and if you get Blood Moon, just, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, the cost is real. The format just has to, you know, shift again, and it's going to. And one of the big things that's going to help that is the other unbanned card.
That would be Bitter Blossom, boys. all the fairy players just got boners for no reason.
Well, okay, so either your action is to get really excited, or your action
you're really sad.
Well, to be terrified, because that card was, you know, that card was just a house. I mean, did you go on Twitter and just look at PV's reaction? Like, you know,
he's like, would have think that he met Jesus.
He's like, wow, I like modern all of a sudden.
Right.
But I think, like, one major card is, like, you can say, like, oh, man, like, that card, like, in fairies, oh, my gosh, like, well, we do have Abrupt Decay now, which, like, casually says, like, oh, can't be Spell Sprited, it can't be Cryptic Commanded, you know, like, if you want that to die, it will. And once again, like, you have mana bases in Modern, which, you know, if you're going to play Bug Fairies, right, because you have to have the Abrupt Decays in the Mirror Match, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Again, you have to play Fetches, you have to play Shocks, and then Bitter Blossom still hits you for one every turn.
Yeah.
You know, my Lightning Bolt deck, you know what I mean, can put you at a life total where it's like, yeah, make your 1-1s, because you hit your own clock is now 4.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're kind of doing it to itself.
You can't take advantage of things like Dark Confidant when you're going to just be killing yourself over and over again. It has to play a regular curve. And like, Cryptic Command's really good, but, like, it still gets Spell Pierced. It still gets, you know, whatever else. Like, I think it's going to be a much more fair in this format.
I agree. Like, I mean, one of our own friends, Brian, was probably doing backflips when he saw the
legend. He tried so hard to make fairies a thing.
And then he just couldn't. And then now he can.
You know, yeah, I mean, potentially, yeah. I definitely think that. I mean, that's kind of interesting. That
to the party, I'm working.
Gosh,
it's too early.
I wish that I had just had the foresight, because I can remember looking at TCG player and being like, I could buy some Bitter Blossom just in case they get a ban. You know, they're like $20 right now. It's still pretty expensive. Like,
seriously, don't buy them for $70 though. Like, if you pay $70 for a Bitter Blossom.
That's kind of the big thing. Like, Nicado's a common. Like, yeah. it's not gonna
dollar.
Yeah, it's not gonna jump or anything like that. But Bitter Blossom's like $60 right now. A lot of things that I saw on Twitter were very accusatory, because a lot of the places, before this even happened, like, even on mainly on Magic Online, a lot of the online storefronts were just out. They just had none.
I don't think, you know, people talk about conspiracy theory
or insider trading, stuff like that.
First off, the last time that was, you know, because, like, remember a week before the last ban of restricted, right? We had the, you know, the fake one, right?
Right.
That was super wrong. I was absolutely wrong. Okay. And in this case, like, people have been talking literally for 3 weeks straight about, like, you know, what are the two most likely things that come off the ban list?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
People listen to these, you know, these people say this, and they've been, you know, buying them steadily for weeks. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And on Moto, it's a lot cheaper to buy a bunch of these things, right? If you're wrong, you're wrong. You know, these Moto bots, they can just, like, turn over volume so quickly. And if you're right, well, you hit the jackpot.
Good on you, right. Yeah, one of the things that I thought was interesting, there were people on Reddit today even that were like, man, I just invested in a play set of Deathrite Shamans. Man, why would Wizards do this to me? It's like, you've known about this for like a month.
You invested in a place that has standard cards at $10 a piece. I'm sorry, you are not out that much.
Right, no, at the end of the day, your legacy investment, like, that card's going to be $20, $30 down the road.
Ooh, you have to wait longer for the payoff. Oh,
right,
no.
Right, and, like, at the end of the day, if you wanted a quick turnover, you knew better.
It's
for
like
a month we talked
it's
about
like
this.
You just spent, you know, $600 buying Tarmogoyf, and they said, see ya.
Right,
know,
yeah.
Right, that's not what happened.
You bought a fringe playable standard card, and then a legacy staple that is going to be going up in price in its lifetime. Now, they ban it in legacy, different conversation, but it's not half the house it is in legacy.
No, it's not. I mean,
no, not at all.
And so, like, you get Bitter Blossom now, you get, you know, so the tokens deck may be a thing, like Intangible Virtue, meet Bitter Blossom, Intangible Virtue.
No
kiss.
Make with love.
We don't want to do this. This is one of our questions for later. So.
We can still talk about some of the decks.
No, I mean, like, we can talk about archetypes. Now, something that I've noticed, I am constantly accused of looking too much at meta games. Something that I've noticed in trends is that I have seen black-white token lists pop up more and be more frequent than what they used to be. It's kind of not surprising with all this rumor that Bitter Blossom is being unbanned. So I definitely think that deck gets kind of new legs. I don't know if it'll be like a top-tier deck, but I'm pretty confident that it's something that we will see a lot more of, and people are going to try to tweak a lot more as time goes on.
It's comparatively for a deck where, like, it has the cheapest fetch lands, Vault Seasons are affordable, everyone already had Lingering Souls, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, now Bitter Blossom is no longer affordable, so
it sucks
to be you, I guess, if you want them. But.
And, like, it's an easy switch out. A lot of people are saying, like, oh, we just drop these, raise the alarms, and put in these Bitter Blossoms. And
God, one of those cards does seem like a lot better than the other one.
Yeah, a little bit. So,
but I like humans.
and it's really, you know, something to kind of keep your eye on. I think this does have huge impacts on the Pro Tour just because they're exciting cards. They're cards that people want to play. Who knows what will actually happen, but people want to play these cards. These cards have won Pro Tours when they've been played before, right?
It's almost like when you look at an older player, I'll go Peyton Manning, right? Like, it was cool to see him play terribly in a Super Bowl. Like, it was not good. But, like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, he's a Bronco now, but wouldn't you like to see him back as a Colt one more time, right? Like, we get to go to a modern Pro Tour, and now he gets, like, man, Kilborg's going to play Zoo, and I'm excited to see it. And PV's going to play Fairies. You know, it's like putting the old home uniform back on. It feels good. I mean, I wasn't excited for the Pro Tour. If they had made no changes to the banned and restricted list, I would have been really like, all right, well, I'm prepared for more, you know, more of the Players' Championship, right? Well, Blue-Eye-Red Control versus Jund. Oh, someone's playing Splinter Twin. You know what I mean? Right. And now I feel like there's definitely reason to brew. There's reasons to play different decks, and I'm really excited for it. And now Wizards is obviously going to go out of their way to pick feature matches that have decks that are, you know...
Hopefully.
Well, they should. I mean, well, right, so, you know, they'll pick the pros that have something a little more unique. Granted, they don't have tons of time to do this, but you know that most of them have already been playing around with, you know... I guarantee a number of them had, you know, Nakato and Bitter Blossom decks in their back pocket. Like, you know, let's play What If here for a minute while we're testing. You know what I mean? And,
yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. This should make for an exciting Pro Tour.
I think so, too. I'm definitely more interested in watching it than I was before. Yeah. If they had made any changes to the banned restricted list, I don't know if I'd really care that much. I'd probably still watch it, but just, you know, very nonchalantly, very casually. When I could, I wouldn't, like, make it a priority. But now I kind of, you know, want to set some time aside and really watch what happens and how the format develops. Especially with GP Richmond on the you know, coming
up. Yeah, it's like now we have a new modern format and two major modern, like, events, like... I don't know, like, I think the format gets really exciting, and it goes a little cold, but then, you know, it goes a little cold for a couple months, but then you get, you know, the PTQ format. The PTQ
season, yeah.
And, like, that makes me happy. Like, I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be a great time to play some PTQs, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I know that you obviously are excited to play Gruul, but you also still had, you know,
I still have Merfolk.
Merfolk on the back burner. I have invested in Merfolk, so I also have that deck as well. Specifically, you know, with Merfolk actually on Friday, I don't know if you noticed this, but there were three primers that went up on different websites about Merfolk and Modern
I
as well.
I kind of like the white one. That it seemed like it had an easier splash than the black one did because you didn't. You got to play the actual Merfolk land from Lorwyn.
Correct. Yeah.
I don't remember the name, but it's a blue white land that comes to play tapped unless you Silvergill Adept, right? Unless you reveal a Merfolk, and you get to play Path to Exile. So I will say, if Zoo becomes like really dominant in the format,
that's the deck to play,
right? Well, I mean, well, Zoo does not do well against Spreading Seas. That's for sure.
For Vans,
that's for Nike. But and then all the same thing here. Like, oh, your opponent's, you know, bricking you with a wall or Bitter Blossoms. Well, my guys all have Island Walk, so
no big deal.
So yeah. I really feel like maybe this is wish fulfillment on my end, but like, Merfolk.
Right, exactly. It's kind of nice to be like, I don't really care about things that are changing that much. I have this card that lets me do things.
I'm gonna make all these new cards swim with the fishes.
I was just thinking, I was just getting really excited for a minute because modern PTQ season comes during the summer, I believe, this year. And that's when we went super hard last year.
It's true.
We get to play, in my opinion, one of the coolest formats. Oh, God. That's why I was flipping out off camera, by the way. You guys can't
also,
they want to find me. But first, they got to find me. But I don't know. I mean, Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Nice monocle, idiot.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to...
When we were going every other weekend, like, to PTQs, now we get to do it with a super sick format, where, like, you're not playing the same three decks all weekend.
Right.
Like, you play that deck, that'll be so much fun. I'm looking forward to that. I'm not going to make any money in summer. It's great.
Eh, who cares?
He's like,
put your hand down.
I do.
Anyway, I mean, those were our you know, random restricted discussion. I mean, there's not much to say. Everyone's kind of already said everything there is.
No, I mean, now it's like, now we literally play the waiting game, right? Like,
exactly.
Okay, excited, new format, let's see what the pros do. I do think it's, you know, it's interesting that each time they change these lists now, right? So they do still let the pro, like the pros get to test the format first, right? Like, because of the nature of, like, they do these right before Pro Tours, because Pro Tours now are aligned with set releases, ultimately. So it's just like, well, you know, let's see what you guys do. But having a modern GP right afterwards, like, I say right afterwards, like 2 or 3 weeks, right?
Something like
it's
that.
The 23rd and then the 9th. So it's 2 weeks. But, like, you get to see them do that, and then you'll get to see, you know, probably, like, 2,000 players come in and do this, too. And I don't know, I'm just excited to see what people do. Like, Cedric Phillips, did you see what he tweeted last night?
No.
He was like, oh, man, people talking about fairies being good again? Time to brush off this guy. And he just, like, it was like just like posting pictures of Kithkin. Like, he's just like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? That's, like, that's exciting because, like, that was a thing. And, you know, like, Kithkin was the fairy killer, right? Like, he championed that a while back. So it's like, well, if fairies comes with, like, I don't know, you get to play that tic-tac-toe, and you get to play, you know, Modern has a lot of nostalgia with it, where it's like, oh, man, I forgot about these. Like, oh, wow. So.
Oh, you mean I can play Mono White again?
Yeah, oh, my gosh, yeah. You could emulate Cedric Phillips in every way. Play his Tron deck, play his Kithkin deck.
I love Mono White. Is my favorite archetype.
Sing bad pop music. Like, you could be it.
Okay, don't judge me, because I listen to bad pop music.
I know you do. I'm making this comparison for a reason.
I am the white Cedric Phillips.
Cedric Phillips is the white Cedric Phillips.
This is also true.
I might look at his old deck list of yore and see what we got.
Of yours.
Of yesteryears. So yeah, it's obviously very exciting. We'll have more on it once the Pro Tour happens and we have, like, new lists and everything's all cool and stuff like that. Let's kind of move on to our last segment and our new segment. Who wants to intro this?
Oh, so I will say, Jordan gave it a sick name and I'm really excited about it, but it'd been thrown out there, like, that, you know, maybe, like, people liked Above the Curve, right? Which is a show that Star City put on for a little while that was, like, ESPN in style. And one of my favorite things when watching anything on ESPN is sort of, like, Pardon the Interruption, which is a show that they really focus on, like, rapid-fire questions with a set timer, right? So no matter how angry you get arguing with a person, you get to, like, you're stuck by a timer. And a lot of different shows, like, radio shows do this as well. Like, the local radio station calls it, like, you know, four downs, right? So, like, what your first and 10 question. So, sticking with our magic theme, Jordan has called it, Jordan, what is it called?
It's called Going to Turns.
So Going to Turns, it just like in a magic event, you would have 5 turns where you're going to have 5 rapid-fire questions. We're going to try and switch around who is the moderator each week. Jordan has stepped up to be our moderator this time. So we have 5 questions on the docket. Morgan and I will each get 30 seconds to answer and argue said questions. We will go back and forth who gets to start with it. And we will kind of, you know, give our thoughts on this and hopefully enrage the other one. Which would be very nice.
To make sure probably. I understand this correctly, you each get 30 seconds?
We each get 30 seconds.
Right.
And we cannot talk over each other. So once you call time, we have to stop.
Even in the middle of a thought, right? It's really great.
So that means if I hit Morgan, I hit Morgan, and that's how it is. I don't think we're going to get that angry to begin with.
But I hope not.
We're going to try this format out here. So, like I said...
Oh, God, imagine if it's like a topic Morgan and I disagree on, like, whether the grass is green. Like, we're going to be like,
why? That's why it's going to be fun.
So, definitely, we're excited to try this out. And like I said, you know, with our goofy, awesome, you know, Going to Turns game here. So we definitely are looking for feedback on it, too. So pay close attention and see where we can improve. But we're going to try this out here.
Yeah, all right. So as soon as I finish reading the question, I'm going to hit start. So, Morgan, what card... You both get the answer.
Oh, no, turn number one.
Turn one. What card from Born of the Gods will have the largest impact on Standard day one?
I certainly think that Bramaz, the Lion King, I don't know his actual title, is definitely going to have the hugest impact. I think it really propels a White Weenie. And with cards like a Johnny and Spear of Helion, I think it gets past the sweepers. But I think that definitely catapults the deck and is going to be like the strongest aggro that you can really have that isn't like a red burn deck. But I think that the hype is real on that card, that card is going to be the best card in Standard. And there's no reason not to play it. I don't have anything else. There we go.
Mike, good.
The Lion King will not. People are going to play the Lion King, and they're going to be sad when every card around it dies and it eats a Doomblade. I think definitely we're going to see the God of Revels make an appearance this weekend. I think a lot of people are going to try and, you know, wrongfully play blue-white this weekend. You know, think how strong that control deck was, but it's still a new format, despite how stale it looks. And I think a lot of these control players who can't answer a Stormbreath Dragon are going to be eating 8-8 Dragons and 10-10 Polychronoses. Oh, and then they're going to get Rampagered, and they're going to get trampled all over, and I'm going to laugh and laugh and laugh.
Okay. definitely 2 points to Mike there on that one.
So. Ding.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you knew this, Morgan. They gave points.
In the yeah, team. We get points. One of us has to win, by the way.
Yeah. So you're actually, like, competing against each other.
Fuck.
Yeah, you're actually losing. All right. So, Mike, what turn deck two. Takes... Oh, yeah. Turn. Jeez, I'll get this right. I can't even pass the rules advisor test, so there's no chance we get this right. All right, Mike. What deck takes down this weekend's Standard Open?
Well, I just told you that Xenagos is going to be a big game here, so I think some version of Red-Green Monsters or Naya, or even like a Rug version here. You know, people are going to be trying out new Planeswalkers, you know, wonky mana bases. You get, you know, new Scrylands. Temple of Plenty is going to be very helpful. I said I think you're going to see Red-Green Monsters come out with Xenagos and come out, you know, hitting hard with all the big creatures. You know, you want to be playing a proactive game plan. You know, week one of a format, but also a game plan that doesn't just roll over and die to mono red. And I think Greed Red Monsters is it. So,
sucks to suck, man. All right, go ahead, Morgan.
Mono black control. Mono black devotion, more like it. That's going to be what's going to win. I mean, the deck's still strong, gets a lot of new additions. I don't give a shit about your Xenagos if I'm ripping them out of your hands. If you can't cast cards, you can't win. And I think that's the best strategy to go with right now. I mean, there's not a lot that shifted with Born of the Gods. Xenagos is strong. Burmaz is gone. Is strong. But, I mean, like, you still have answers. And that's what Mono Black has always been and will continue to be. There will be slight changes to the deck. But Bio Blight and Drowned Asaro helps a lot with that deck.
Time's up. Oh, that's 2 points to Morgan. Oh. I've never heard Morgan talk mad shit before. It's crazy to see her go, I don't give a shit about your Xenagos. So, 2 points to Morgan on that one. And by the way, in the comments on Facebook and YouTube, this is a great thing to sound off on what you think about these debates, too. That's a great thing we can actually all argue about during the week. All right, so this one's to Morgan this time. Turn three. What modern deck becomes more viable? We already kind of had this discussion, but what deck becomes more viable as of Friday with the unbannings? Modern viable unbannings. Go.
I think Pod is actually really good. It was really good before the format, and now you're taking away one of their graveyard hates in Deathrite Shaman. I know the deck uses Deathrite Shaman, but Kiki Pod doesn't. So I think Kiki Pod actually might make a bit of a resurgence because it still uses a graveyard strategy that's now not hindered, and you know nothing from Kiki Pod is really affected. So I think that deck and that strategy might have a really strong showing, as well as... Barlaira Pod as well.
Oh, there we go. All right, Mike, go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead and go with the home team here. We'll go with a Nikadal deck. I think one of the aggressive decks have been missing, and because you've seen like a lot of Tron, a lot of Twin, and you know, I think any of these decks can get really aggressive, play a couple 3-drops in the first few turns. So like, oh, Pyroclasm, not good enough anymore. Whip Flare, not good enough before anymore. And you can just play some Dismembers and some good removal spells, and I think you can just tempo a lot of decks out. I think if you are pretending like Nikadal's gonna be like, oh, like nice kitty. No, he's gonna scratch your face and gouge your eyes out.
Oh, good idea. 1 point to each of you, by the way. That was really good. We're gonna split that one up. I think we're gonna do that.
I appreciate that.
Neither of you sound like too big of an idiot. But while Nikadal's a nice kitty, it's kind of weird. Mike, what is the modern event deck that's worth $1 billion? Wait, what? Oh, it's turn four, by the way.
All right. So I already know what Morgan's going to say. He's like, oh, look, Bitter Blossom. Like, he's got the X-Files conspiracy going on. Like, it is this. I think it's going to be, and I am going to say this again, a Nikadal deck. I think they wanted to push aggro. They want to bring it back to the format. They can, you know, that's the kind of deck where the creatures are so cheap that they can safely give you a couple fetch lands for your value. You know, if you're playing Zoo, you only need, like, X1s of shock lands anyways. So it lends itself to the janky mana base where it's like, oh, you got one Stomping Ground and you got one Temple Garden. Well, that's kind of
that's
okay.
That's enough for you. Okay. All right. Morgan, go ahead.
That's going to be Black-White Tokens. I'll be the pontiff of this deck. Thank you very much. It's
get
got...
out.
The it's pontiff? Got...
Yeah, negative like, 1 point.
Like the Orzhov Pontiff.
No, we knew. negative 1 point. Yeah.
So Bitter Blossom gets unbanned. You put that in. That's your value rare. You have the cheapest fetches in Marsh Flats. That makes more sense. It's still a strong strategy. You just have anthems. You power through creatures. It's really easy to pick up and play. And I really think that's going to be it. And it comes with paths. I mean, Paths of Exile is going to be pretty sweet removal. I don't know. It's really good. I'm just saying, Bitter Blossom. It's a real deal.
Oh, I'm going to use his time. Aaron Mesa and Marshall Flats cost the same price, jackass.
All right, well, okay, so definitely 2 points to Mike. I actually haven't never heard of the Nikadal idea before until right now, so... And,
like, I am all that is man.
I know your heart would be happy if it were blue white. Or
well, let's see if we can tie the son of a bitch up.
No, you actually lost the point. It's like 2-5. So.
Oh, you're actually deducting my point.
Yeah, no, that happens in the shows, man. Like cold pizza stuff.
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Do. You get silenced, too.
Yeah, like, they actually like, turn you off, and then you get kicked off the show, so great. Actually I need you to go outside. No,
go fuck yourself. I'm taking all my goddamn equipment with me.
No, so Turn five here, last turn of the game. Mike is Born of the Gods, Theros Limited. Or is it good or Morgan?
It's
Morgan.
Sorry.
Yeah. Right.
Born of the Gods, Theros Limited. Good, bad, or whatevs?
From what I played in Sealed, I really think that Born of Gods kind of lends a lot of itself to the limited play of Theros. I think that a lot of the strategies, especially the white aggressive strategies and the green strategies, actually get a lot of push by some of the tricks. And you also get some black removal and white removal that you didn't have before, especially the Excoriate, the Exile spell. I think that it helps a lot with some of the creature issues and removal issues that you have. It's still a bit rough, but I think it reinvigorates the format and people love limited.
Oh, wow, that was really good timing, Mike. Go ahead.
I think I'm going to tentatively agree, but I am going to say I think word of mouth is going to still carry a negative attachment with this format. I think the format's actually a lot of fun, and I think the Bestow is done really well, Heroic's really fun, but I do think the stigma of opening generally terrible cards in Board of the Gods, I think it's going to turn a lot of the casual FNM drafter off. They're going to be like, man, I don't like this because I never get to open anything fun. And I think that's going to be so. I think fun, good draft format will be looked on in the future with like fond memories. But I think it will have a negative connotation, at least in local like casual circles.
That's a good point. 1 point apiece there.
So wait, who won, Jordan?
6-4 to Mike.
Ooh,
oh man!
I wish I could retract my Pontiff statement.
We all do.
Yeah. I really thought it was going to be good. I thought you guys were going to enjoy that. That's all right.
That was really fun.
I completely agree.
Fun. Let us know on Twitter or in the comments of this, like who you think won the debate. I mean, I obviously gave it to Mike, but you know, if you just have this weird affinity for Morgan,
and we'll switch around. So
who doesn't have a weird affinity for me? Yeah.
Affinity for Morgan.
Spells cost 1 month to cast for each
Morgan you touch.
Morgan, you have to.
Well, yeah. Yes. Anyway, yeah, that was a lot of fun. We'll see if we can revisit it next week, or you know, maybe we'll go back to question of the week. Who knows what we'll do? We'll have fun. That's all we know.
Like that.
Yeah, but please do. Please give us some feedback. Yeah, well, that's pretty much everything we had on the docket. We of course want to thank Foggy Dust for letting them use their room to record. Of course, you know, we want to thank Comic Town for pre-releases and having those. Most importantly, we want to thank our sponsor, Empire Cards.
They have a giant standard event this weekend.
They
He's
do.
Got like 30 boxes of Born of the
insane.
Gods. Which,
oh, gross.
He likes to do these like case events, right? Good times. And then the weekend after, all the stores locally here and Empire are doing the TCG appreciation as well.
Right.
So I think we're PTQing that weekend.
Hopefully. Weather dependent.
Weather
yes.
dependent, of course. But, yeah, definitely. If you're up in that area or heading up there, I mean,
yeah, go to
30 boxes of Born of the Gods seems,
right.
seems
and,
insane.
I mean, card availability to be damned. Get those cards, go up there. It's an amazing event, and I'm heavily considering going. See if there's a way I can swing it, but I don't know if I can be gone for like a bunch of weekends in a row. But man, that event's going to be sweet. And yeah, check them out on Facebook. Just search Empire Cards, you'll be able to find them, or Empire Game Center as well. And their website's just empirecards.com.
Yeah. A couple of people on Facebook really wanted us to talk about Born of the Gods card playability. Check out last episode. If you like listen to this whole thing and you're disappointed, I know there's like a bunch of posts on Facebook
Skylands.
Have to do that. Yeah. Pretty much the playable card is
Skylands.
Skylands and what's the other card that's playable?
Skylands.
Oh yeah, those three. Okay. So
there's some other ones too. But mainly
yeah,
Skylands.
Mainly Skylands. Check that out. Check out the website at yourinstub.com. That's
Please.
Where we post a ton of stuff except for Morgan, so
Yeah, and it's the quickest way to get to the episode, so if you want to be the first to listen to it in your playgroup or what have you, listen, go to the website and listen to it. It's faster than MTGCast, but we love our hosts at MTGCast as well, but please go to our website. It's pretty awesome.
I know we've had a long list of shout-outs, so I'm sorry, but I will also say I have written less for the website only because I've been writing for Legit MTG
right.
a little bit more again, and they've done a really, like, Joshua Claytor, you can find him on Twitter, he's been the interim, like, editor, and he's done a really good, like, he said, like, in December, that website hit an all-time low of, like, visits.
Right.
And then, like, he's, like, you know, much like the Flame Wreath Phoenix, he has got, you know, risen it from the flames, so to speak. He's done a really good job, you
Ashes.
Know, getting material back on the website, and I've sort of enjoyed, you know, picking up for them.
Yeah.
I really thought they might just disappear, and they've actually, you know, new ownership and new editors have done a good job turning it around. So, I've written two articles in the last few weeks there, so if you are interested, go and look for...
No, yeah.
For me there.
This has been the longest list of shout-outs ever, but something that's really cool to everybody that listens. Thank you, by the way, for pushing our website past the largest number of hits it's ever had, and, like, our podcast is...
Yeah, we hit over 100 likes on Facebook. We had 2,000
hits
last month
like,
on
individual views on irons.com. And we're on pace to break that this month, by the way. We're over 200 for February.
That's awesome.
Which is insane, because we put
we're on the third day, so...
Right, yeah.
yeah, thank you.
At this rate, we have 10,000 views for February.
We really...
yeah, easy now. Let's not extrapolate. Yeah.
We really appreciate it, and we can, you know, keep doing this without, you know, your guys' support. Please...
I mean, we could, but it would be a bunch of weird guys. Like, it'd be like your dad, like, hosting us on a radio show down in the basement.
Like,
you know the truth is out.
It would have been like... if your dad, when he retires, and he gets really into ham radio, and like that's what we would be. We would be the guys in the ham radio club.
I just imagine my dad in boxers, like talking into like the whisk that you stir the eggs with. And it's like, dad, you're fucking crazy.
Your dad is the guy like single handedly has kept Radio Shack afloat for years. Like, I actually need these transistors, and it's like, we got them.
But you know what though? He's been right all along. He's like, yeah, the government's spying on us. And like, yeah, they have been.
He walks into Radio Shack and has to blow dust off things. I'm like, okay. It's like, gotta go reveal this plot.
All right. Well,
burning an effigy of like Snowden.
Cold is about
All right. Well, this has been another lovely episode of At Your End Step. We do thank you for listening and being a part, and we'll catch you next week.